Amen, amen. I want to talk to you from a simple thought. And the thought is total dedication to God. God wants you, amen. He wants you. He wants you totally dedicated. The book of Romans, we know that is written to the Romans by the Apostle Paul. And, you know, Paul himself declared that he was a Roman citizen. And in order to be a citizen, you had to at least have some money to make sure that you secured and bought your citizenship. Amen. And Paul wrote to those who were citizens of a very powerful empire. The Roman Empire was so powerful that it stretched wide, and it had many emperors, but they were so powerful that they ruled with an iron fist. They claimed to be a democracy in a way, but having somewhat the same setup somewhat that we have here with our Senate and our bodies of government, and then a figurehead to lead. Amen. The Roman soldiers is believed to be some of the most well-trained people that were in the world at that time. It was hard for you to overcome the beast of the Roman army. Amen. Paul wrote to those who were at Rome to let them know that they needed to continue their devotion to God. He wrote to them to let them know who they were in God. He wrote to them to let them know their place in God. He told them a lot of things, you know, because there's some things that we need to hear, because sometimes we'll walk in guilt. And, you know, they were a very paganistic community, the Romans were. And sometimes they would get involved in things that they probably should not have. But Paul writes to them and tell them that don't be condemned. Amen. He said, but don't walk in the flesh, walk also in the what? Spirit. Amen. And when we look at this, when we look at the book of Romans, this book is written to those people who were in a society much like ours today. It was a society that if you had enough money and you had enough guts to do something, you could do it and get away with it. Amen. And so the society we live in today is almost the same way. You do what you want to do and don't worry about it. If the law or the government says it's okay and you ain't hurt nobody else, then go ahead and do what you want to do. You can serve whatever God you want to serve, how long you want to serve them, when you want to serve them. Even if they're not real, you can still serve them. That's what the Romans believe. When we look at this, we look at Paul. He's writing them in the 12th chapter. But he lets us know that in the first chapter, in the first verse of the 12th chapter, so we can get into this, he lets us know that he begs us according to the mercies of God. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So what I want you to see here, the word therefore launches us into a new subject, because it is letting us know that we're going to connect the things that we've already said with what we're about to say. So Paul, he's launching us into another subject because he was talking to them, and then he begins to tell them. He says, I beseech you, I beg of you, brethren, or I'm pleading with you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, he's not talking to every person, but he's talking only to those who are the children of God. Why do I know that? Because he says, brethren. The word brethren means those that are born of the same womb. Amen. If you are born of the Spirit, here's Paul talking to you even today. It doesn't matter how long ago it was. This word is still good and fresh for us today. So he says, brethren, I'm begging you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice. He says, brethren, I want you to understand that you need to, first of all, he talks about getting right, and he tells them, he said, but you got to get right through Christ. He said, I want to call you, first of all, to dedication to the worship of God. So dedication calls for what? Worship of God. Whenever we dedicate ourselves, we got to make sure that we're dedicating ourselves to worship God, not to build our own self up. Amen? Because sometimes people come to church only to get what they can get to build themselves rather than giving God true worship. Because we sometimes send the wrong message. We tell people, if you want a husband, if you want a wife, if you want a car, if you want a house, if you want a dog and whatever else, you just come to church and you can get that. That's the wrong thing to tell people. We should be telling people that you just need to come and worship God, and out of your worship, then God will begin to bless your life. Out of your worship, then God will begin to see what you need, and he'll begin to provide what you need. Come on and say amen. So we need to understand that when we dedicate ourselves in worship, that's why you see people start to get blessed, and you see you start counting your blessings, and it begins to get to a point where you can't count them because there are so many. Because as you worship God, God says, I can't leave you in the state that you're in. I can't allow you to be like you are. I want you to have the best of life. The Bible even declares to us that it pleases the Father to give us the kingdom. Now, what's in a kingdom? I know you understand what a kingdom is. So what's in the king's domain? That's what the word kingdom means. It means the king's domain. So what's in the king's domain? Everything that you can imagine. That he says that he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said all the silver is his. All the gold is his. Better yet, he said it like this in the book of Psalms. He says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So guess what? And whatever you need, whatever you got to have, God says it's in my kingdom. So when we worship the king and become subjects of the king then blesses us for being his subjects. Amen. And so he tells us, he says in verse 1, he tells us that we need to present our bodies. A what? Living sacrifice. Present. In other words, the challenge here is that we got a challenge to present ourselves because we got a flesh that don't want to do it. And then we got devil that works in our flesh that makes us not want to do it. And sometimes we have a carnal mind that makes us not want to tell our flesh what it needs to be doing, and a devil that's telling our mind that it's all right not to do what God says do. Oh, it's a challenge to present yourself. It's harder than sometimes we think because we got to make sure we practice it enough to where it becomes a part of life. If we don't practice this, if we don't practice worshiping God and presenting ourselves to God, then we won't effectively present ourselves to God. We got to understand that when you present yourself to God, it has to be constant. It has to be continual and not occasional. In this day, we think that it's okay to occasionally worship God. We think that it's okay to worship him once a week. And sometimes when we do that once a week, we're really not worshiping. We're just doing what we call a duty. Amen? But every day when you wake up, you should say, I'm dedicated to you, God. I'm presenting myself before you. I'm coming in prayer. So whatever it is you would have me to do, let me do it and show me, guide me, give me what I need to say, show me what I need to do. But instead we wake up, we thank him and we ask him to do something for us. But I want to tell you, I want to kind of flip it in the words of President Kennedy when he said, don't ask what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? Don't ask what your God can do for you, but what can you do for your God? Amen. And so the challenge here, when we talk about to present, the word present means to place beside or near, to place one at one's disposal, to bring one into fellowship or to intimacy. Look at that. When he says present, he's telling them, he said, you need to get close to God. In other words, when we get close to God, we get in his presence in a place where he is present and we are present at the same time. I know God is everywhere, but that's his omniscience. Amen. But I'm talking about getting in the presence, in the glory of God, in his manifested presence. When you know that God is there, his Shekinah glory, his kabod, the glory, the heavy weight of God. I'm in his presence and I know it. I feel it. You can't tell me that I'm not in there. Come on and say amen. He said, to be placed near or to be at his disposal. So in order for me to be able to worship God, I got to be at his what? Disposal. I got to be whatever God wants me to be and how he wants me to be. Be at his disposal. We want God to be at our disposal. Sometimes even when we get mad with people, we say, God, you get them. God, show them. God, you know, that's how we do. God, whoop them. God, do, you know, we want him to be at our disposal. But we got to remember that we need to be at God's disposal. If God said, tell them, you tell them. If God said, pray for them, you pray for them. If God says, forgive them, forgive them. Amen. We have to be at his disposal, and we ought to bring us, when you present yourself, it brings you into close intimacy, close fellowship with God. Amen. In other words, you're going the same direction God is going. How can two walk together except they agree? If you're not agreeing with God, then you're against him. Amen. You're not, if you're not in agreement with everything he said, then you're a rebel against the kingdom of God. Come on and say hallelujah. But he said to come into fellowship or into intimacy. That is where the church needs to be. The church needs to be in intimacy. Do you know that not only is the church the body of Christ, but the church is the bride of Christ? And if the bride is not being intimate with the husband, then a lot of times the husband say, I can't deal with this. It's time for us to divorce. But thanks be to God, we don't have a husband like that. He said, I'm married to the backslider. He said, I'm holding on to you. He's come on and say amen here. And so what God wants from us as a church is to be so close to him that we become intimate with him, and then we produce his seed. Preaching here. He wants us to be intimate with him to the point that I'm full of whatever he has. Oh, come on and say amen. You can tell if a couple had any intimacy because either they're going to have some children or some going, you know, you can see some things. You can see some closeness. They have a tendency to hug each other, to hold each other's hand or whatever. You start to see it. When was the last time you reached out to God's hand? Amen. He's always reaching out to us. When was the last time were you in his embrace? I wish I had somebody. We need to be intimate with God. He said, present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. When you worship God, you need to also consecrate yourself. You need to come before him as a living sacrifice. Notice that Paul said living and not a dead sacrifice, because God is not interested in dead animals. He's interested in living beings. Oh, come on and say amen. When we look at this, he wants us to be a what? Living sacrifice. And what happens when we're just dead? We don't get, you know, it's you know, God, he wants to be intimate with us. But if a person, you know, I'm going to say this and hopefully it'll be all right. Y'all won't get offended. But if a person is intimate with a dead person, it's called necrophilia. And God is not going to be guilty of that. Preach anyway. He's not going to be guilty of that. He's only interested in people in live sacrifices. I wish I had somebody. So he says that we got to totally dedicate. And sometime when we dedicate ourselves, it's a sacrifice. So what does that mean? That means that it sometimes become painful for us to dedicate ourselves to God. Sometimes it become difficult, but to dedicate ourselves to God, it becomes hard for us to dedicate ourselves to God, but it's necessary for us to be able to dedicate ourselves to God, because it's detrimental to our faith, and for us to continue to live without him, we can't. It is in him we live, we move, and have our being. Can I preach like that? He says that you need to present your body as a what? Living sacrifice. Amen. We must be a living sacrifice. And so when we present ourselves to God, we must give up our own desires. Sometimes we have to give up our own ambitions. I wish I had somebody. Sometimes we have to understand that we were bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. When you accepted Jesus, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to him. So for you to do something contrary of him or against him, it's not presenting yourself a living sacrifice. Sometimes your friends will tease you. Sometimes people will talk about you. But you got to say, I'm still still a sacrifice. Sometimes they'll have everything to say about you. They'll call you anything and everything but a child of God. Talk about you like you got a tail and everything, but you still got to present your body a what? Living sacrifice. Amen? Total dedication. When we look at the word sacrifice, is the word thusia in the Greek. It means to be a victim. In other words, I need to become a victim of the will of God. Oh, come on and say amen. Why do I say that? Because a victim of the will of God becomes a victor in the works of God. Oh, hallelujah. If you want to work and do his work, then you got to be a victim to his will. You got to fall to his will. You got to say, I'm giving up. I'm sacrificing. I'm coming out. I'm surrendering to him. And he says for us to what? Be a what? Living sacrifice. Amen. So we ought to seek him. And when we seek him, look at what he says. He says a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Nowadays, we try to make God accept anything. Oh, let me tell you, God is not accepting strange fire. As much as we think that he is, and as much as we offer to him the wrong thing, he's not accepting strange fire. He's not accepting a strange sacrifice, an unclean offering. I wish I had some people that understood what I'm saying. We got to understand that God has not changed his mind on what he likes. Did you change your mind on what you like? Oh, come on and say amen. You know, you still like what you like. And guess what? God likes what he likes. And he gave us detailed information of what he wants from us. He said that we ought to be holy because he's what? Holy. Come on and say amen. He said that because we couldn't be holy ourselves, he sent Jesus so that we could be holy in him. And so we, in order for us to go to God, we have to go in Christ. Preach. And so I need to be holy and what? Acceptable unto God. What did God accept? He accepted Jesus Christ. And so Jesus came as an example of the type of sacrifice that he said that you got to not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. And he came as an example to show us what God will accept. I wish I had a few people that understood that this morning, which is our what? Reasonable service. Our reasonable service. And what he's saying in reasonable service, he's saying our intellect. With our rationale, you know, we need to think about it, and we need to, and Paul even said this. He said, I serve God with my mind. If your mind is not on him, if you don't think about him, then something's wrong. And you know, we got to think on God. We got to make sure that we reflect on his goodness. We got to make sure that we have his law in our hearts and on our minds. You know, it's important for you to have the right kind of mind. And the Bible even tells us to gird up the loins of our mind. How do I do that? With the word of God. The more word that you memorize, the more word that you know, the less you'll fall into temptation, the less the enemy will be able to take you out, the less you will be discouraged in the face of adversity. You'll have faith because you'll trust in the word that God has given you. So we need to gird up the loins of our mind. My mind is fenced in and protected by the word of God. So Satan don't have an opportunity to put a bad thought in there. He don't have an opportunity to put stuff in my head that I know ain't right. Come on and say amen. I won't begin to rationalize with what's wrong, but I'll stay on the right side and I'll do exactly what God said do. And I won't be moved by society, but I'll be moved by the Savior. Wish I had a few people here. Which is our reasonable service. This is what we ought to offer God. We ought to keep our mind. He said, if you can keep your mind, that's why some of us don't have no peace, because we forgot about him. And that's why your problems, what does the enemy do? He brings your problems to you. He makes sure it's in your face. He makes you want to talk about them. You talk about them all day, all night. You stay up all night worrying about them. You get on your knees, you pray about them. Instead of looking at the problem and thinking about the problem and having confusion of mind, think about the problem solver. Think about the God who's able to deliver. Come on and say amen. Because guess what he said? He said, I keep you in perfect peace if you can keep your mind stayed on him. If we can keep our mind on God, we'll be all right. But the enemy keeps our mind off God. He keeps our mind on what they said about us and how they did us and how bad we got it and what bills are due and how in the world am I going to make it. And he keep our mind on all of that stuff. You know what? You wouldn't have made it with God this far, so you might as well trust him now. You wouldn't have been able to be where you are if it had not been for the Lord on your side this far. You might as well let him do what he's been doing all the time. Well, what if I lose a few things? What if I go through a few things? I'm going to go through them. I may have to lose them, but I got to trust him at his word that he said that he'll restore me, that he said that he'll pick me up and turn me around, that he said that he'll bless my life if I trust him. I'm almost done with my first point. So dedication calls for the worship of God. Then in verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to dedicate to God, because when we do that, we have wisdom. And the wisdom of God is what we need in order to dedicate ourselves to God. When you're wise enough to know what God requires, when you're wise enough to know that it's time to pray. Amen. When you're wise enough to know that, you know, because if you read the Bible says that the scriptures will make you wise. If you read the scriptures, you got somebody that seem like they just ain't getting it. You need to stop telling them what they need to do as far as how to direct them on point here to point A, point B. You need to do that. Just tell them, go read the word, because then they'll finally get some real wisdom, because they may not be hearing you, but maybe they could hear God. I wish I had somebody. So when we worship, the believer is to devote to God. Everything he is and has is to be dedicated to total worship to God and to serve God. Anything less than that is to miss the mark and fall short. I wish I had somebody. And so now he's telling us that we need to what? Worship God. He says, but how do we worship? We worship with our mind. We worship with our body. But our mind is our part of our soul, which is the governance of the body. Our body don't want to cooperate sometimes. So if we get our mind right, then our body begins to do what our mind is telling it to do. Amen. You know how you say, I had a mind to do such and such, and you go do it. I had a mind for this and a mind for that. You need to get a mind to sacrifice, a mind to serve, a mind to give God all you got, and dedicate yourself to God. Amen. He says, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed, but be what? Transformed. Amen. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so when we start talking about being transformed, the word conformed means to be fashion-like. Don't be fashioned like the world. Don't mistake what I'm doing for what the world is doing. Come on and say amen. I don't want to do like the world. The world do certain things to sacrifice to their God. So let me do what I'm supposed to do to my God. Amen. If a person is all about money, and look, let me tell you, money is good. The Bible even said money answers all things. But the Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. And when money becomes a God in somebody's eye, they don't care what God wants. They don't care how it affects you. They're going to do what it takes to get that money. And that's their God. Now, what is that God called? Jesus called it the mammoth. He said, you can't serve God and mammoth. A mammoth, if you are a person that studies and look back at history, a mammoth was a big elephant-like creature that had hair on it. So a mammoth is big, and money, you know, is like the mammoth. Amen. You get big money, you drive big cars, you got a big house, and everything is big because you got big money. Amen. But we got to remember that it has to be God to give us that and not serve the money. Well, I got to work so I can keep this stuff. Well, no, I got to work because I want to bless God who helps me to keep the stuff. Amen. God helps us to keep the stuff. Amen. Because if he blesses us with it, he's not an Indian giver. He said the blessings of God maketh what? Rich. And adds no sorrow. Come on and say amen. We have to have the wisdom enough to know that. And so he said, be not conformed to this world. I don't need to be like the world. You know, too many times the church is trying to be like the world. And whatever the world do, we bring it into the church. Oh, it sound good, look good, and it felt good when they did it in the world. So we try to bring it into the church. Come on and say amen. Now, I don't want to offend anybody, but I want to say this, and I don't want to offend anybody, because your preference is your preference. But I don't like to listen to Kirk Franklin. There's a reason why, because a long time ago, he said his music was not for the church anyway. He said his music was for the streets. It was for the highways and the byways, whatever. And that's good, fine, and dandy. But when they begin to do certain things and they bring it into the church, then what happens is we lose our spirituality. It feels good to my flesh because it make me want to stomp. Huh? Make me clap my hand. Make me want to dance. Right? And that's cool. That's all right. But then, how you know, is that something we can truly offer God? Yeah. You know, how many of us, I'm telling you, I thought about that. I said, boy, I'd be ashamed if I came before Jesus in his physical body and begin to sing that song. Yeah. Ain't got nothing to do with him. It glorifies the devil. You can't touch this devil. You know, and I'm not telling you don't listen to the song, but what I'm telling you is that we can't offer that song to God. Yeah. Oh, Lord have mercy. It takes wisdom to know that, amen, that we can't offer that. We can't offer that to God. Maybe it's good listening music. It's good and make your flesh feel good or whatever, but guess what? It does nothing for your spirit. It doesn't make you feel like you're in the presence of God. But what it does, it makes you feel good about, you know, it charges you, it energizes, the vibration of the music makes you feel good. Amen? Oh, come on and say hallelujah. I mean, when you're a child, you jump and you tap your feet and your head and bob your head and dance. When babies do that when they come out. When they hear music, they just move, you know. So music is music. Amen? But then there is music that should be dedicated to the worship of God. Amen. Yeah. The wisdom of God. We got to understand. We have to have the wisdom of God. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that is also in who? Christ. The mind to serve. The mind to do God's will. The mind to say that I didn't come to please myself, but I came to please the Father who hath sent me. Now, we got to get that in mind. We got to remember we have to please God because he sent us here. God sent you here for a purpose, and if your only purpose is so that you can have stuff, then shame on you. Because when it's time for judgment, I want you to know that God is going to judge you according to what he told you to do that you didn't do. Amen. And so we can say, well, I didn't lie, God, but did you do what I told you to do? God, I was a good moral individual. I did everything right. I didn't sin like other folks were sinning. But then God, I didn't do everything you told me to do. And God says, well, what did he tell the ones who had the talents, the one that had the talent that he hid in the ground? He said, you were a wicked servant. Even though you gave me back what was mine, you didn't do what I told you to do. We got to make sure we do what God tells us to do. Come on and say amen. I'm not here just to have fun. I'm here, I can have fun while I do what I do, but I'm not here to just have fun. I'm here to show God's faithfulness in the earth. I'm here to tell people about how good God is, to show God, to be a witness of what God can do in a life when people don't think you're gonna make nothing of yourself. I'm here to tell you that God can take you and clean you up. He can fill you up and give you his Holy Spirit and put a word in your mouth, and you can become somebody that people look at and say, now that's somebody God has changed. I didn't come here to struggle all my life. I came here to show you that in the struggle, God will give you what you need. Boy, y'all making it hard on me this morning. He says that we have to have, he said, don't be conformed to this world, but be you what? Transform our transformation. That means something has to be different. That means that you know, and the one thing I like about that scripture is to let you know that we are all transformers. It's more the meets the eye when you look at me. You may look at me and say, oh, look at him. You know, he's 6 foot, so a little bit over, and he got on a decent suit, and he preached a decent word, but that's more than meets the eye. There's something on the inside of me that God will transform me into. I wish I had somebody. But if you...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support. We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you.